Cars in the Shed, a podcast brought to you by Cars Guy, and we're ready to rip into anything that's happened in the motoring week this week.
We are.
I'm James. With me are Matt.
G'day.
Who's been all over seven-seat SUVs.
All over
and
them.
The healthy, constructive feedback we've received to his recent review.
Yeah.
As well as Richard.
Hello.
Who's not alone in his concern about Takata airbags.
No.
And notes the New South Wales government's latest moves in that massive recall effort. And we'll check in with Twitter's number one fanboy in Musquatch. So stay with us. But first of all, we've had some feedback, again, which is terrific. So just to run through it quickly, our mate Hammer Rocks had his view on the Merc AMG GT four-door.
Yeah.
That's a five-door. Now, Mal well and truly blew a gasket about that last week.
Did he ever? Yeah.
So Hammer Rocks has recalled that the rear door design was called the liftback back in the 80s and 90s on cars like the old 626 and Telstar Twins.
And Camry as well.
Camry, so back. your liftback. Now, that just neutralises the whole argument.
Yeah.
In that it's not a hatchback, it's not a door, it's a liftback.
It's a liftback.
Who uses it as a door anyway?
Exactly.
No one.
No one gets in the car that way.
No.
Right? Dogs do.
Some dogs.
I think Hammer Rocks is genius on that score, so it's absolutely solved the problem. Thank you for that. So the fifth one, it's not a door, it's a liftback. Yeah. Everyone's happy. And TQM has sent love hearts to Richard and Mal. TQM has said, quote, "I love Richard Berry." And then Mal came back and responded and said, "Yeah, we love him too." Blah. And then TQM's gone, couple of love hearts. He's just gone, "Oh, Mal, I love you."
Just so, giving out the love.
Yeah. So there's a lot of love in the place.
That's
Thank you
lovely.
Very much. Now,
Thank
something
you.
That doesn't necessarily generate much love, unfortunately, Richard. These airbags meant to save people's lives. We're all pretty familiar with the kind of traumatic and lengthy recall campaign. What's the latest news on that
score? So, look, as everyone knows or everyone should know, the Takata airbag recall has been taking place now for like 5 years, 4 or 5 years. It's now getting to the point where people still aren't having their cars checked, still aren't having their bags replaced, and the New South Wales government has been forced into a position where they're going to ban you from re-registering your car next year if it's actually one of the cars which is on their hit list. And they've called their hit list the Alpha Critical because the Alpha airbags have been identified as the most dangerous airbags out there. They mainly really only affect earlier model cars, like from the early 2000s. But there's plenty out there. You know, there's still over a million cars out there which haven't been checked or had their bags replaced.
It beggars belief, doesn't it, really? Because by this stage, if you've got a... So maybe an early noughties car is a little different, but you should have by rights received some kind of communication from the manufacturer. If you've transferred the registration of the car, it's known who owns it, the VIN number is traceable, so someone owning that car should have received a notification. And in the face of all of that, they've still chosen not to do it. It's free of charge. I mean, it's just strange.
It is. I think the way that they're contacting people is by mail. First off, that's officially their first way they do it before they then go into other means. And look, mail isn't, as we all know, 100% reliable all the time. And in terms of cars being sold, resold, you know, I reckon it would be hard to find out exactly who owns a particular car now if it's 15 years down the track.
Yeah.
I've got a list. JC and M4, if you want
to
indulge me, no, I'm going to pop around to your place.
That's a big job.
Yeah, look, just requires a screwdriver and a new airbag. It pops out. But I've got a little list here, and I might just quickly go through it quickly. These are the cars which are affected. It's not a long list, but there's a lot of cars within those models. So BMW 3 Series E46, great car. That's affected. That's from 2001 to 2003. Honda Accord and Honda CR-V from 2001 to 2002. Honda Civic has also got an Alpha airbag. That's from 2001. Again, Honda Accord from 2001 to 2002. Then this is the biggie. Honda Civic, Accord, Accord Euro, CR-V, Jazz, and the MDX all have Alpha bags. You will not, if you own one of these cars and it's from 2001 to 2003, you will not be able to re-register it unless your airbag's been replaced. Honda Jazz from 2004. Lexus SC430, great car. 2000 to 2003.
Really?
I wanted that car so much. About 15 years ago.
We've learned something about Richard Berry today.
I think taking a few more of those off the road is probably a reasonably good thing.
That engine's amazing. The airbags aren't, apparently. You have to get those replaced, otherwise you're not going to be able to get it re-registered. Mazda 6 RX-8 Mazda, and the other Mazda 6, 2003 to 2004. You're not going to be able to register those either. Nissan's been hit badly too. Nissan, the N16 Pulsar, the Y61 Patrol, the D22 Navara, the T30X Trail, 2004. You're not going to be able to register unless you get
them cheap deals out there.
Yeah. Toyota Corolla, the Aventus Versa from 2000 to 2004, same again. And finally, the Toyota Echo and the RAV4, mm-hmm. 2002 to 2003 model years. You're going to have to get those replaced.
So just to reiterate, these are the alpha critical.
Don't make him go through them again.
No, we're not going to go through them again.
Do you want to say
these
again?
Are the alpha critical airbags that can blow shrapnel into your face.
Yeah. So if you're watching on YouTube right now, we've got some video behind us of a Takata airbag blowing up. And it basically, JC, we saw this yesterday, an M4, it becomes a bomb.
Well, yeah. That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's the inflator, it's the metal retainer. For the actual inflator. So it's a very strong explosive force to deploy an airbag. And degradation of that retaining ring over time means that the metal breaks down into fragments when the whole thing blows up.
That's
and,
right.
Yeah, it'll kill you.
That's
yeah.
right. Now, look, if you're listening from another state apart from New South Wales, look, New South Wales is actually one of the later ones to get on board. All the other states have apart from Victoria, and Vic Roads has been approached for comment, and they've said that they're actually going to be considering it as well. So, look, I reckon next year Vic Roads will be on board as well, and the whole country
will
have a ban.
You hope they would be by next year. I mean, it's a pretty critical situation.
Well, it's also pretty straightforward to check whether or not, you know, over and above Richard's list there, but to check whether your car's affected. Manufacturers are doing it. The Federal Chamber of Automotive Industries is doing
that's
it
right.
online.
There's a website you can go to. It's www.ismyairbagsafe.com.au. There's a link to it from our story. You can read our story and find out if your car's affected.
Yep.
It's really simple. I did it with we have a 2008 Ford Focus, and I was a bit worried as well. You enter your number plate into it, the state, and it tells you immediately whether your car is fine or not. And my car, I just... number plate, state, and it said your car's
What about
affected.
All the other outstanding violation notices that are against your car at this stage?
Only airbags. Fortunately, only the airbags are detected in that particular one.
So I've done. I did this as well for my recently sold Volkswagen Up. And I feel bad now because I forgot to get it done. Now, I'm one of the people who got the notice in the mail.
Yes, dude.
It didn't have the right name.
Yes.
Like it said Matthew Daniels or something like that.
Who's that?
But I don't know.
Is that
your alias?
The name you dance under.
Could be.
Internationally.
But anyway, so they sent me the letter in the mail. I knew that it was an issue based on the website, but I just hadn't got around to doing it. And so I've sold the car. And I texted the new owner of the car this week to say, hey, just remembered.
Yep.
You know, have one of those brain flashes like,
I've sold you a bomb.
Yeah.
Literally.
You've got an airbag that needs to be replaced.
Yeah.
So she's got the paperwork now, so she's going to go and get it done.
But it's not an alpha one.
Yeah.
No, it's not an alpha. So it's not one of the dangerous ones.
Still got to be replaced.
Still
got to be done.
As a, you know, as a means of safety.
Yeah. It was kind of reassuring. Our eldest daughter bought a Yaris, and it's a 2008, I think. And we looked... its details up. It was one of the affected cars, not for the alpha bag, but for the other type. It had been done, so you're able to tell whether or not the work's been, rectification work's been completed.
Yep.
And then in the door aperture on the driver's side, little silver stickers for any other recalls.
Yep.
So it's kind of reassuring.
Yeah.
It's a good feeling once you know it has been done.
Absolutely. Look, a lot of people say that, you know, recalls are a sign that a car's not built properly. Actually, it's not. It's a sign that the manufacturer is taking responsibility to look after your safety. So,
yeah.
And you've got your part to do as well, so get it checked out.
There are cars that aren't built properly, though.
There are.
There are. We know a few.
Oh, yes, we do.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, let's move on and, you know, if we're going to talk about cars that are built properly, that's one of the things that we're looking at.
Oh, yeah.
When we lined up 7-seat SUVs, and they're such a popular choice for families.
They are, hugely.
And we looked at what we considered to be the cream of the larger versions of that. Matt,
so
talk us through it.
These ones were the off-road SUV type. So there are two pretty distinct categories of 7-seat SUVs these days. So there's the ute-based heavy-duty off-roaders, and then there's the car-style 7-seat They're more a people mover style vehicle, but they just have regular doors on the back rather than sliders because no one wants slidey doors anymore, apparently. So these hardcore SUVs that we had included the Isuzu MU-X, the Toyota Fortuner, the SsangYong Rexton, the Ford Everest, and the Mitsubishi Pajero Sport. We put them through their paces, and the Pajero Sport was our pick at that price point.
Cool.
Now,
And the context for that was there were other vehicles, you know, it could have been a much longer list.
Yes.
But we made a qualitative judgment call on which one should have been included to start with. Yeah?
Yes, exactly. So the point of the test, essentially, we had the brand new SsangYong Rexton, all new car. It changed over the generations into becoming, well, as we found, more of the CX-9 style, Hyundai Tucson style SUV than it used to be. It used to be a real hardcore, rugged beast of a thing.
I somehow feel that the Rexton should be with the Nissan Gloria and the Cedric, you know, that they should all be having tea together. There's something about, you know.
It's a good name.
Yeah.
I like it.
Rexton.
Yeah.
Welcome in, Rexton.
For sure you'd call it Rex.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rexton.
That was the car that was the impetus for the test. But we also wanted to see what the entry-level versions of some of the other cars there. So we had an Isuzu MU-X, which has a similar list price to a mid-spec Toyota Fortuner, which has a similar list price to a high-spec Pajero Sport. And so we had a real cross-section of cars. And there's a bit of confusion in the comments on YouTube about why we chose these specific variants.
And so was the unifying theme around the price
point? Yes, so $49,000 to $55,000.
Gotcha.
There were cars that fell outside of that bracket, like a mid-spec Ford Everest would fall outside of that, and the same can be said for a high-spec Fortuner.
Yep.
And so there were people commenting on our page in YouTube just saying things like Ford has overpriced the Everest, which we found.
Yeah.
So we thought that based on list pricing, now that's the pricing that the manufacturer advertises plus on road costs, there are brands out there who do drive-away pricing, which is very different. It includes all your on-road costs. And SsangYong is one of those brands.
Yep.
So they've advertised nationally at $52,990 drive-away, which is essentially, if you were to do a list price, it'd be $48,000-ish
plus on-roads. It's always several thousand dollars. It's a variable, but, you know, it's a pretty big number.
And so, but this is where it gets confusing. So the Isuzu is about $50,000-something, $50,400 or something like that, plus on road costs. But you ask any Isuzu dealer or you see, you know, what they've come up with as a deal, and most of them are doing it $44,990 drive away.
Wow.
But we can't go off that because that's not what the official list price is. That's what we go off for tests like this, and that's why we included the entry-level car rather than a high spec.
So never underestimate a dealer's propensity to deal.
Exactly. If you are willing to shop around and don't be afraid to drive a couple of different suburbs and see what you can get, and even a different city. Like, I know that you can get a better deal in Newcastle than you can get in Sydney if you're looking for a luxury car.
Are you doing an ad?
No.
Oh, sorry. No.
Should I be? Anyway, back to the feedback. So we had a couple of other ones. You guys deserve a medal for bravery for attempting to film a Richard Berry in the backseat of a motor vehicle. I hope all necessary precautions were taken to avoid any incidents.
In the backseat.
Because Richard acted out the backseat space, comfort, etc.
Which car was that?
That was the SUV, just the comparison.
Yeah.
Well, there was a hazmat team on.
There was a hazmat team. One of those little mobile showers.
He had a mop. Yeah,
that's right.
And a mop and a bucket.
Yeah, they were able to sanitise the vehicle pretty rapidly.
It's a bit stingy, shower.
We had a few agree with us. Thanks for the review. My sister drove the Fortuner and hated the suspension setup, which all of us did too.
Right.
Because it was just clumsy and yuck. And then we had... Well, there was probably about half a dozen that said, where's the Nissan Terra? So we've got a lot of international viewers wanting to know where the Nissan Navara-based SUV was.
Yep.
We don't get it here yet. We might get it here at some point.
We'd like to.
Yeah. But
In Australia, it's more Nissan Terra Nullius. It ain't here.
Yeah, exactly. And so that was one interesting group of comments.
Yep.
A lot of people also asking for the Haval H9.
Yes. Yep.
As... as part of this test. Another one said, Andrew Bushell said, should have put the Havel H9 and LDV D90 up against them. We've been trying to get an LDV D90 for 18 months and we can't.
Yep. He's heir to a T fortune anyway. What does he care? He wouldn't be in this market.
The Bushell
He'd
man.
Be in a Range Rover, for sure.
We do have a Havel H9 coming through the garage in a few weeks' time.
Good looking.
Which gets updated. It gets some additional safety kit, which is good. And then the other group of people that were all over us were the Holden Trailblazer lovers.
Yes. Who would have thought there was such a group?
Dakito Preto, Brooks Nuts, and Danilo Alex Carrico. We hear you. The Trailblazer wasn't there because we couldn't justify it being there. We didn't have enough people.
Where's the apostrophe in Brooks Nuts? Is it about his nuts, or is it the fact that he's a bit mental?
There is no apostrophe.
Okay,
Brooke is nuts.
Strange. Always Kaif also wanted to know. And we got accused of having something against the Trailblazer by Gavin Sawyer. But the fact is that we only had a few hands.
We only had five people, and we would have loved to have done a 10.
Yeah.
You know, SUV comparison. But,
you know, we have to be realistic.
Yeah.
And also on that front, the Trailblazer doesn't quite sell in as good numbers as some of its competitors in the class. We wanted the Everest there because it sells well and it's what we thought was the benchmark. We wanted the Pajero Sport there because it's such a good value proposition. And it ended up that in that price bracket, it was the Pajero Sport that won fairly convincingly.
Absolutely. It deserved it.
Yep.
Yep, good car, comfortable all-rounder. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are other vehicles which did individual things better. Like, I really liked the steering in the Everest. Mm-hmm. I thought this Everest was just quite a beautiful car to drive. But overall, the Pajero Sport just took it.
And and it's great to have that feedback, and please keep it coming. I mean, feedback on the feedback, if you will.
Yeah.
But we've got to say that all of our opinions are considered. They come from first-hand experience and driving these cars back-to-back. So occasionally we're accused of some kind of institutional bias against a particular brand or a particular car. It's not. It's opinion based on experience and looking at those cars absolutely direct back-to-back out of one into another.
Absolutely. Like, I think in this job, your integrity is all you got. You know what I mean? Really?
Yours left years
ago. I've left mine ages ago. But when it comes down to it, we can't afford to be, you know, fanboys. We can privately with our own cars, but we can't afford to have any bias at all. Otherwise, you're not going to believe any of our other reviews.
And on that, we do have more comparisons coming up soon. Mm-hmm. We're going to be doing different segments. We've had requests, obviously lots of requests for some similar SUVs in the same sort of price bracket. We'll look at that and see what we can justify. But also we've got luxury SUVs coming up. We've got hatchbacks coming up. It's a broad range. We're going to try and do as many as we can this year. So stay tuned because there's plenty coming.
Yeah, it's always interesting. I mean, it never ceases to amaze how graphic the difference between vehicles can be when you are literally jumping from one into the other and driving them back to back. It's quite graphic.
Mm-hmm. Well, last night I got out of a Lamborghini Urus and into a Mazda CX-5. And I don't think it gets much more graphic than that.
Well, that's a beautiful segue, Richard, because we are going to talk about what's in our garage and we'll kick it off with your good self. It's been a rare kind of inhabitant of our garage this week and you're behind the wheel of it.
That's right. Lamborghini's second SUV, of course. If you may know, we possibly even have some footage of Lamborghini's very first one as well.
LM002?
That's right. It's so well named. Yeah. The LM002.
It was to win, I think, an Italian military tender.
That's right.
And it didn't get up, but they built them anyway.
Yeah, and look,
had the Countach's V12 in it.
A beast. And look, and so is the Urus, or Urus. I mean, I've heard people pronounce it.
Urus.
I've heard people pronounce
Lamborghini
it.
Urus.
That's right, the Lamborghini
get
Urus.
Real, it's the Urus.
Right? It's the Urus. I've heard a lot of people pronounce it all sorts of ways. Urus, Urus, whatever you want. It's a beast. I've really enjoyed driving it. We've only had it for a limited amount of time, as you do with these types of cars. This time, look, we know that it's a beast on the track. We know that it can go off-road. So what we did in this situation, we filmed it a couple of days ago, is that we gave it the berries. Now, what I mean by the berries is I introduced it to my family, the berry family. So we got my my wife into it, my son into it. We took him to preschool. We took my wife to work. We exposed it to my mum, who's wild. She's mad. Not even she knows what she's going to say next. And she said she actually thought it was a Porsche when she first saw it. And then she thought it was a Jaguar. I took her to lunch in it, and she's got, talking of potty mouths, she's got the biggest potty mouth you could imagine. And that was hilarious because getting mum's take on it, mum does not mince words.
Yeah.
And you might be surprised about what she thought about it. I was. We covered everything from funerals to fake boobs in this conversation.
Brilliant.
With mum.
Because, yeah. I mean, that juxtaposition that you mentioned a little while ago, going from that car to a CX-5, it's from fantasy and all emotion to reality and what will actually do the job.
Absolutely.
Really,
I mean, this Lamborghini Urus has got a twin-turbo V8 making 478 kilowatts and 850 newton metres. That's incredible. And I didn't like it when I saw it in pictures for the first time, but when you see it in the flesh, I fell in love. It looks like Queen Bee.
And so it got you to childcare really fast.
Amanda was late for work. My wife was late to work, and I said, "This car can hit 305 kilometres an hour. You're not going to be late." She wasn't convinced.
So you went 305 kilometres.
Didn't go that fast, but right. I did take mum through a few tunnels in Sydney, and mum started doing her. She has anxiety, and right. She does this breathing when she gets nervous, and she goes. It sounds full on. I feel bad, but mum full on got. Bit anxious.
All right.
Well,
but it was a wonderful, like, it was a great experience to drive. It is made by I suppose, you know, the Volkswagen group family, as Lamborghini and Porsche and Audi are,
Bentley,
and there are definite connections to Audis, and you know, the new RS8 or SQ8, which is coming out, will share the same engine and a lot of other bits and pieces, and the Touareg as well is built on that same MLB platform. So it
Bentayga
as well, and the KN2. So it does not feel much different to those cars, but there are some Lamborghini. It's dressed up as a Lamborghini, and that gets it over the line in my eyes. So I enjoyed the experience. The video's coming soon.
You know what?
The review's coming soon too.
You know what I think's most interesting about it is that it's cheap, comparatively.
Well,
compared to other Lamborghinis.
That's true. Actually, you're very right. The five-seat version, which is what we had, is $402,000.
Cheap.
Yeah, the four-seat is about $490,000. Yeah. And that's, you know, as mum said, because I said, we're going through the different criteria as you go through, and I said, what would you give it for price? And she goes, Richard, Just you shouldn't even think about the price. Because when you've got money, this is nothing. Don't even think about it. You buy this car if you want to stand out
in
the crowd.
Absolutely right.
She's right. And that's the mindset of a person that we'll never be.
Yeah. So,
good on her. And it's actually a family car. You can use it as a family car.
It's got a 600 plus litre boot. We fit.
It's mega.
So much stuff in the boot. Massive boxes.
And the one we had was in such a subtle shade. It really almost melted into the background.
Galore yellow is standard colour.
It's a standard colour. No cost.
No cost option. Probably one of the only things. $67,000 worth of options, and the colour wasn't one of them. And I loved it because, you know, as mum said, if you're going to get it, you got to get it in this yellow as well. You want to stand out. This is what this car's all about.
Agree.
And cool.
All right. Now, another money's no object car. Of course, comes from Suzuki.
Yeah,
you'll do whatever. Speaking of mother, you know, you'll sell your mother for one of these, and you've been behind the wheel of our new favourite little guy.
Yeah, the Jimny. Last week we did some off-road testing in a manual Jimny, and this week I am in an automatic Jimny. Now, I prefer the manual hands down. It's a much more rewarding drive, but I can totally see why people would buy the auto because it is just... It's still fun. It's still zippy enough.
How many speeds in the auto?
Fours.
Four.
Yeah, just
it's
the four
speed.
Is that a problem?
No.
Really?
No.
On a highway?
I haven't driven on the highway yet, but I really think that this whole obsession with having more and more gears in your automatic transmission is stupid if the engine doesn't need them.
Yeah.
So,
are you blowing a gasket here?
No, I could be.
I think you might be.
If you want to go there.
It's dumb. Anyway, but there are cars that need extra gears. I mean, I imagine that once I get to 100 k's an hour and it's sitting at 3,500 RPM and it's going, I'll want a fifth
another
and
gear.
Sixth, but that's okay. No, love it. Now, just a bit of bragging. I found myself driving the Jimny through Surrey Hills, and I got almost as many looks, points, smiles, and videos by people with their phones as I did when I had a very short drive of the Urus as well. So I think, based on bang for your buck, if you want people to look at you, it's a beautiful shade of snot as well. So it'd
be just amazing peering in the garage, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, we've got the Urus, but this is just our runaround.
Yeah.
That would actually, it's kind of like having those mega yachts, but a little dinghy at the back.
A tender, a little tender hanging off the stool.
This is what you use to run to the shops.
If I had all the money in the world, that would be my garage.
It's pretty
that
good.
And a hot rod and the Jimny.
Yeah, yeah, so looking forward to spending a bit more time in the Jimny. It's so far, I am smitten. I know it's got shortcomings and there are plenty of them.
It's short.
But but it's just one of those cars that I've been waiting for a long time. I am in the market to buy a secondhand old one, so maybe that'll happen.
Yeah.
Just because my heart's been...
Sounds like you're rattling off your Tinder profile.
Oh, I love it. I'm so into it. What have you been driving, JC?
This is hot.
Yeah, just changing the subject, are we?
Sorry.
Okay. Look, I've been in the world of commercial vehicles and I always find that fun. You know, the white box van man playing that, just playing role playing.
Yeah.
So it's a Renault Traffic Crew Lifestyle.
Right.
And I expected that to be something a little bit special. It's not. It's a working van.
Yeah.
It's a diesel. It's only a 1.6-litre four-cylinder turbo diesel.
Yeah.
It's a big van. I saw it in the car park.
And it's big.
It's massive.
Look, its wheelbase is 3.5 metres. So it's 3.5 metres just between the axles.
Yeah.
That's getting on for the overall length of a Picanto.
Yeah.
Just between the wheels. So it seats six. So you've got that classic, I think it's six anyway.
Yeah.
You've got that classic seating at the front, load box at the back. It's about 47,000 before you put it on road. Mm. And it's a six-speed manual. In that very European, more specifically French way, up in the console, where it's very convenient.
Yeah.
And it works quite nicely. The engine power delivery is not linear. You get a sort of slowish, not sluggish, but slowish sort of take off, and then whooshka, the turbo comes in and you start to really feel the power. So it gets along okay. I didn't load it up. It was just using it for a bit of fun.
Yeah.
But it wore off pretty quickly.
What do you think? Who do you think would use this? Is this is it flower shop, or is it more tradie, or is it a...
That's a really good question. This one, because you've got the six seats, I think those six seats are for workers.
Yeah, right.
This is not the family work kind of dual personality. Yeah. This is a working vehicle.
Yeah.
So it's going to be used on a job site or, you know, in that setting.
I've seen them decked out for electricians.
Oh, yeah.
Going to big job sites like apartments and stuff. So people can get all your boys to the site, or boys and girls to the site with all your gear as well. And plumbers as well tend to like them as well.
Because Toyota doesn't make a large van like that. Well, it doesn't sell one in Australia, does it?
The crew seating in the front? I'm not sure.
They do.
Do they?
Yeah, the Hiace.
Yeah, but the Hiace isn't the same size.
Yeah, it is.
You can get a. I thought it was a class smaller.
They're the same. They're the same class.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
So,
right.
But there is a new Hiace coming soon. Yep. Wow. 15 years later, can't wait.
Love
and it's going to have a bonnet.
Oh yeah, it's got a nose.
It's a semi bonnet.
It's not just a cab semi. Over engine.
But how interesting. Toyota's like, we're confident we're going to get 5-star safety. So that says to me that they're going to go.
Mm.
AEB.
Lane keep. They need some kind of pedestrian detection as well.
Yep.
The high tech
protection.
But unless ANCAP decides to do what it did with Kia and go, well, if you're going to have one spec without it,
split the rating.
But I don't know. Mm. Toyota's pretty aggressive on safety these days.
Anyway,
interesting.
Look, I think the Traffic, it's fit for purpose, does its job.
Yep.
It was fun for a little while, and then that wore off.
Yep.
So that was good. And look, speaking of big claims, Toyota might be making some. This man makes them all the time.
Oh, yes. Oh,
it's time for Musk Watch. Right, so...
Musk
okay, man. This week, Tesla has announced that its general counsel, and I want to try and get this name right, Dane Butswinkus, Butswinkus... Okay, that's his name.
Are you sure?
That's a good name.
Butswinkus is leaving 2 months after his hiring. So he was hired primarily to take on the whole U.S. Securities Commission case that Elon Musk had to face from his untoward tweets about, you know, taking the company private and all that stuff. We know it too well. But he's leaving due to, quote, poor cultural fit. So he's just not getting on with certain people. So
I wonder who that person is.
And you've got to remember is last year, Tesla, or the dear leader, lost senior managers from Tesla's sales, accounting, finance, supply management, human resources, and communications teams.
Yeah.
So there's a fair bit of poor cultural fitting going on, which could be a worry.
And look, that's not even considering probably the endless stream of workers which are also leaving when they're getting jack of it. Because apparently he walks around the plant and he picks on people.
He fires people.
Well, but also, allegedly.
Some of the workforce, as we know, had to be laid off because of managing cost versus production and all that stuff. So it's a fairly tumultuous place, I'd
it
imagine.
It doesn't sound like a nice place to work.
It doesn't. Now, also, in terms of the tweeting habit, which we all know that Elon suffers from, chronically, he's been on the Twitters again, and he's posted a picture of thousands of cars on the dock in San Francisco, bound for Europe. That's great. So it's a drone or a chopper shot.
Yep,
looks extremely impressive. Soon after, again on Twitter, he said Tesla would make 500,000 cars this year.
Wow,
which is a massive claim, like half a million cars. But about 4 hours later, tweeted a correction that the company's annualized rate by the end of the year would be 500,000. So they'd be at a run rate that would equate to 500,000 cars in
what
a year.
That's not so, the same.
So the actual number, he said, was more likely to be 400, which in itself is a massive claim. We'll see whether they get, and this is X, S, Model 3, the whole bit. That's their output. We'll see if they get to 400.
That's a lot of cars.
That's like saying, I'm going to go to the gym 3 days this week and only going once and going, well, like I said I would, but, you know, I could possibly go 7 days.
Maybe I'll go 7 days next week.
And there's 5 minutes left in the week.
Yeah.
I could go twice in 5 minutes. I'll walk in and out. So you've got to watch that send button, I think, is the cautionary tale out of all of this.
Yeah.
The share price has been stable at around $300 during the week, okay, so during the last week. But you got to remember that according to CNBC, Tesla's unpaid debt is still around $1 billion, and that's mainly in convertible bonds, and they're due this time next week at a conversion price of $360, right?
Wow.
So if the share price isn't at or above $360 by Friday of next week, Tesla will be paying out up to a third of its liquid capital to make up the difference.
Holy crap, I've got a $300 like electricity bill due next week. So it's kind of not as bad as that, is it?
Or
is
it? Imagine that. So you do something to get the share price up there, I don't know, or you just pay out loads of cash to shareholders to make up for their bonds, the conversion of their bonds.
Well, I get a feeling that we're going to see some sort of concept car this week.
Could be. Pump it up.
Something
or
from
maybe
SpaceX.
a production version of the of the pickup. Roadster or the pickup.
Motorbike. Tesla motorbike. You heard it here first.
Now, Bloomberg, the Model 3 production tracker, we're at 5589, which is up another 259 on last week.
Oh, good.
And Model 3 has broken through the 200,000 unit mark.
Okay.
So that's been going for a few years, but they've now built more than 200,000 of the things. 203,744 to be exact, according to Bloomberg.
Okay.
Now, look, elsewhere in the Elon world, did you know SpaceX launched an Israeli robotic lunar lander last night?
I actually didn't know that. And that's the type of thing I like to know.
He likes space.
I love space.
So it's called Bereshit, which means in the beginning. That means in the beginning. And I thought maybe if they're going back to the moon, right, and there's a lunar lander there, they might find Alan Shepard's golf clubs, because Alan Shepard was famously the first guy to play golf on the moon.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know whether he brought the clubs back with him, but it'd be great to just kind of, the robot, the Israeli robot, picks it up.
Yeah, and makes the putt.
Makes the putt. Finishes off the hole.
That would be great.
There's lots of craters, so easy to get a hole.
That's true. Yeah. Lots of bunkers.
Golf. Yeah, lots of bunkers.
Lots of bunkers.
Yeah.
But okay, look, with that, we've reached the finish line. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
And thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
And thanks to our producer, Mr. Pritchard. To have your say on the show, search for Cars Guide on Facebook and Instagram and use the hashtag CGPodcast or email us at comments@carsguide.com.au. You can listen to and watch us on YouTube. And if you're enjoying Tools in the Shed, please pay it forward and recommend us to family and friends, or rate and review us on iTunes. Apparently, we're still a 4.5 out of 5 on iTunes. I don't
that's
know how that's
happening.
That's amazing.
Anyway, until
good
next
on us.
Week.
Yeah.
Until next week, a truckie didn't notice a low bridge sign and gets stuck under an overpass. Hmm. The police eventually arrive, and the cop says, "Got stuck, eh?" To which the truck driver says, "No, I was delivering this bridge and ran out of fuel."
Was that's... it? Oh, no, you've got stuck.
Good on you, Richard.